All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11 for the message this evening. We are going to have the Lord's table in just a little bit. And so I want to speak tonight on why the Lord's Supper. Why the Lord's Supper. And I hope that you'll see just how simple this little reminder that was given by the Lord is. You know, it's amazing how man can take something so simple, so easy, and mess it up. You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. The Lord said, when you guys get together every now and then, whenever you want to do so, just take a little bit of unleavened bread and just a little cup and just remember me. You know, I just don't want you folks to forget what I did for you. I just don't want you to forget it. And, our Constitution says that we are to have the Lord's Supper every 6 weeks. But with the way this world is going, you know, and the way the church of Jesus Christ is going today, it's almost like we need to do it more often than every 6 weeks. Because in 6 weeks' time, it seems like more and more folks just forget what the Lord Jesus has done for them. And so there is a reason for doing this, and it is simply so you and I will remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. None of us were there. We did not see the crucifixion. We did not see him carry that cross through the streets of Jerusalem, and we did not see the soldiers take nails and drive them into his hands and into his feet to attach him to that cross. We did not see that. We did not see the crown of thorns that they forced down upon his head. We did not see his back and his chest and his stomach from where they whipped him with 39 lashes. We did not see any of that. But nonetheless, the Bible tells us that it happened. And I believe that it happened, just as the Bible says. But since you and I weren't there, the Lord Jesus simply gave this little acted out parable. That's what it is. It's just a little demonstrated parable. And we take bread and we take the cup and we simply remember the fact that the Lord Jesus had his body broken so his blood would flow, and we take that bread as a picture of his body, and then we take the juice as a picture of his blood, and we remember. You say, well, we weren't there. No, but we've read it in the scriptures, haven't we? And so we remember what he did. I'm going to tell you something, folks. In 2,000 years, look at what men have done with the story of the crucifixion. You know? I mean, it's lost everything. But the Word of God is the same. It's the same that it always has been. And the Word of God gives details of all that happened. And you and I can sit down, read those details, and realize what Jesus did for us. So we sit here tonight to remember what he did. All right, let me read to you verse 23 and following. If you'll follow along as I read, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So there it is. "This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant," the New Testament. Don't forget, your Bible has two covenants or two testaments. You have the old covenant and you have the new covenant. And so the old covenant had a sign, and that sign that was given to the old covenant was the sign of circumcision. All right, but now we have a new covenant, and the new covenant also has a sign, and that sign, that thing which identifies us as part of the covenant is communion. We have the bread, verse 26. Watch this now. We have the bread and we have the cup. And he said, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So we have a new covenant, and that covenant is based upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says it clearly in verse 25. So we take the bread and we take the cup. Now look, please, at verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment or damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." All right, now sleep, that does not mean to take a nap, sleep. That does not mean soul sleep. Doesn't mean that at all. The Greek word is the word cemeteros. Ring a bell with anybody? Cemetery, yes. And so Paul said, "And for this cause, many, not a few, not some, many sleep." I guess it's kind of true. You don't shake your fist in the face of God. You know, I just would not do that. But notice the encouragement here is for us to partake in the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup. Because in verse 31 or verse 28, he said, "Examine yourself. Examine yourself and then eat." All right. In verse 31, he says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So the encouragement here is for us to judge ourselves. In other words, to get right with God. All right. So here's another benefit for taking the Lord's table. We gather here every six weeks, and let's suppose that you have not, for the past 6 weeks, you have not been faithful to your Bible reading, you have not been faithful to church, you have not been faithful to prayer, you have not been faithful to soul winning, you've been watching some things on the idiot box that you ought not be watching, and you've been reading some stuff that your eyes should not see. And, you know, on and on and on. We all know that we're all sinners, all right? And so you come in here tonight and you say, "Oh, communion. Oh, man, I haven't been living for the Lord. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to die. Well, the Lord doesn't want you to get sick either. Lord doesn't want you to die either. You say, well, then what do I do? Well, how about get right with the Lord right now during this service? Just get your heart right with the Lord. You can go out of here tonight with a blessing upon you and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord, remembering what Jesus has done for you. All right, let's pray real quick, and then why the Lord's Supper. Father, help us tonight to see the reason for why we observe communion. Father, I pray that you will help me as I speak. I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And Father, give us all how we need to hear from you. Give us your word tonight. May it touch our hearts. May it draw us closer to you. And Father, may each and every one of us do as Paul commended the church at Corinth to do. May we sit here this evening and examine ourselves, and then remember and rejoice and be thankful and enjoy the fellowship that we can have one with another, but most especially with you. So, Father, bless us now. We need your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you tonight about the reason, about why we observe the Lord's table. I want to be clear tonight. I want to be plain tonight. And all I want to do is motivate and remind each and every one of us what the Savior did for us on Calvary. That's what I want you to consider. I want you to think about what Jesus did on that cross and realize that when he did what he did on the cross, he did it for you. I mean for you personally. I've heard preachers say, and I believe it with all of my heart, that if you were the only person on the planet who was a sinner, Jesus still would have died for you. And he would have. That's how much he loves the individual. So we all know that we gather around the table for fellowship. All right, we'll say, hey, come on over to the house. We're going to get pizza and fellowship a little bit. All right, so now that was not an invitation right there. I know some folks will be sitting on my stoop tonight going, what? I thought you were coming home, Pastor. Anyway, if you want to come, come on. I don't care. You just bring the pizza, all right? But fellowship, we all enjoy fellowship, don't we? Sure, we love to fellowship. And I want all of you folks to realize that the Lord loves to fellowship with you. I mean, that's why he made us. That's why he created man, so that we would fellowship with him. Now, we know what the devil did. The devil came and tried to ruin that fellowship. Matter of fact, he did ruin that fellowship. And so when God came in the cool of the day, as he did every day after man sinned, instead of Adam and Eve being right in the heart of the garden welcoming the Lord, they went and hid themselves. You say, well, why in the world would Adam hide himself from God? Why wouldn't he want a fellowship with the Lord? Same reason we don't want to. Sin. You see, sin, it ruined everything, didn't it? And the only way that God could fix the sin problem was to send himself. You see, folks, I could not die for you. I couldn't do it. I'm a sinner just like you are. I could not die for my son. My son could not die for me. We had to have a spotless, sinless Savior. Amen. And that's why God sent his only begotten Son into this world born of a virgin, so as not to inherit the sin nature. And therefore, when he went to the cross, he was not paying for his sin. The wages of sin is death. He was not paying for his sin. He had no sin. Yet the Bible tells us that he died on that cross. Why did he suffer death? Well, the reason is because he took your place and my place and paid our sin penalty. Oh, what a wonderful plan of salvation God has provided for us. So I want us tonight to remember what the Savior did. I want you to remember that the Lord of glory loved you and gave himself for you. I want you to remember that head that is now crowned with glory was once crowned with thorns for you and for me. I want you to remember that he whom all of heaven adores was who sits upon the throne with God the Father once hung on an old rugged cross on Mount Calvary over in Jerusalem in Israel for you and for me. I want you to realize that he who is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day was cursed as he hung on the tree, on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Remember that. Let me remind you, Paul said in Philippians that he humbled himself. He left all the splendor and majesty of heaven, humbled himself, and came here to take on the form of man. That is the ultimate humbling, in my opinion. For God to leave his Father's side, to come here and become one of us. But he did it for you and for me. What a Savior we have, folks. And every time we take the bread, and every time we drink the cup, we are reminded of the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross for each and every one of us sitting here this evening. So for our purposes tonight, I want us to think about the Lord's Supper. And I want to give you two objectives, if you will, that are right on the surface and with this matter of the Lord's table. First of all, I want us to look at the Lord's table as a memorial. A memorial. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, Paul said, this do in remembrance of me. So we're going to take this bread in a little while, and we're going to hold that piece of bread in our fingers, and we're going to realize that little piece of bread is a reminder of something very, very important. What is it? It is a reminder of what our Savior had to go through when he went to the cross. His blood, his body was broken for each and every one of us. You see, folks, this bread is it sets forth the incarnation of our Savior. The fact that our Savior, God, became man. That's the incarnation, that God became man. That is such a vital doctrine in the Bible. And you know, ironically, all these new modern translations and perversions of the Bible, they remove as much of the deity of Christ from the scriptures as they possibly can. They take it out everywhere they get the opportunity to. But the Bible is clear. God became flesh. The bread and the juice are clear types or pictures that when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died, he had a real body. A real body, folks. All right? He had a real body that was broken. And he had real blood that flowed from his wounds. In the book of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 26, God said that when the child asked mom and dad, "What mean ye by this service?" Speaking of the Passover. God said that when the child asked mom and dad, "Mom, Dad, what does this mean? What does this putting of the blood on the door mean? What does all this mean?" God said, you can say, "Well, we break the bread to show how the Lord Jesus suffered for us, and we then drink the juice out of the cup as a token of the blood that the Lord Jesus poured from his heart for the sins of the world." Remember, folks, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John said. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And these elements represent the blood of the one who shed his blood in order that he might become our Redeemer. His shed blood. Remember that. Whatever you do, remember that. Folks, listen. Man takes it and we make it the Holy Eucharist. We make it one of the steps to get to heaven. Never intended to be so in the Bible. Never was that intended. We take it and we add to it, and they say that this juice, when you drink it, becomes the literal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They say when you take this bread, this unleavened bread, and you eat it, that it miraculously, mysteriously becomes the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. That's cannibalism. We don't believe in cannibalism. We don't practice that. If folks are rotting in jails today because of cannibalism. I don't know if you remember that Jeffrey Dahmer guy out in Chicago, man, and Gacy out in Chicago. Why is all this happening in Chicago? All right, but these guys were cannibals. You go to jail for that. This is just a picture for you and me to remember what Jesus did for us. That's all it is. We draw nigh to him. What does he do? Draws nigh to us. So he said, as often as you do it, just get together, pass out a little, a few saltine crackers, unleavened bread, pass out some grape juice, and just remember me. Not complicated, not difficult. It's just some little tool that the Lord Jesus gave us to make sure we don't forget what the Savior did for us. I know churches that only will have communion once a year. Once a year. I don't think that's enough. Do you? I know other churches that have it every Sunday morning. They have the Lord's brunch. They have the Lord's brunch. But they do it on Sunday morning because they don't come back to church on Sunday night. You see, all over America, churches have canceled Sunday night services. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. So when are we going to do the Lord's Supper? Well, we'll have it in the morning. The Lord's breakfast? No, the Lord did this in the evening just before he was arrested over on the Mount of Olives. So I think that what we ought to do is just do what the Bible says do. And so if we keep the Lord's table fresh, if we approach it with a freshness each and every time and realize that we are remembering what the Savior did for us, well, then it becomes something special and a reminder that we are serving the Lord Jesus and he is loving us and we are loving him. Second thing I think it does, I think secondly, that it is a manifestation or a showing or a picture of our faith. Our faith. You see, it is a token for ourselves. I mean, for the individual. We all need to be reminded of his grace and of what he did for us. It is also a token to God. We say, in effect, dear Father, we break this bread and we drink this cup in token of our belief and our faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We are yours. We are your children. We are sons of God, and we are proud that we are. And so we take the bread and we take the juice, showing Christ's death to our God, as if to say, Lord, this is why I'm in the family. Lord, this is what he did for me. Lord, thank you for what Jesus has done for me. It's a time of devotion. It's a time of showing forth our faith. But it is also a token to our fellow believers. You know, the old adage, there's strength in numbers. Well, there's security in numbers also. You know? Yeah. I mean, there's security in numbers. I take communion because I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take it with you, in front of you, because I love you, my church family. I mean, God has blessed me the responsibility of being the pastor of what I think is the greatest church in the world. You're my family. I'm your family. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You can't throw me out of the family either. So God, what we're doing is we're saying, you know, I'm going to take communion because I'm not ashamed of Christ, and he's certainly not ashamed of me, and I want to take it in your presence because you are my church family, and I love each and every one of you, and so together we are united around this table and what it means. That's unity. That's unity. That's not union, that's unity. All right, if you take two cats, tie their tails together, and throw them over a clothesline, you might have union, but you don't have unity. Amen? That's just old West Virginia theology right there. Yes, indeed. And if you got the mental picture in your mind, you'd be laughing your head off right now. All right? We're together testifying and forming a common bond of love and unity as a church. Every time we observe the Lord's table. And then it is a token to the world. It is a token to the world. Perhaps there is one in here tonight who does not know the Savior. Well, we are saying to that person, here's what we believe. We believe that the Lord's body was broken upon that tree, and his precious blood flowed while he hung on that tree, and we are trusting in what happened on the cross of Calvary to get us to heaven. That's what we're resting our faith upon. You see, folks, you cannot understand why we do this unless you know the Lord as your Savior. You really can't. You just say, man, what are they doing? What are they doing? Should I take one of these as it goes by? Oh, it's just crackers. I'm not taking that. Well, I am thirsty. I've seen folks not take the bread, but take the juice. Literally, I've seen that. One fellow said to me one time, he said, do I have to pay for this? No, it's already been paid for. Oh, the church paid for it? No, church didn't pay for it. Jesus paid for it. Amen. He said, I just don't understand this then. And I said, how about one of us stop by this week and explain it to you? And we did. And that if I remember right, that man was saved and came to church here until he died. You see, folks, once you bow your head and give your heart to the Lord Jesus, I want you to know that you will look forward to the Lord's table Sunday. You'll look forward to it, and you'll look forward to it because you will realize, wait a minute here, in this old busy, busy world that we live in, I get to stop this evening, and I get to take that little piece of bread in my hand, and I get to think about the fact that Jesus had his body broken for me. Oh, the skin was broken wide open, and the blood poured out. Folks, when you see these pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross, they're not anything like that. They're not anything like what the Bible describes. Isaiah said when he looked, you say, how did Isaiah see him back in the Old Testament? Through eyes of faith. And Isaiah said his visage was more marred than any other. I'm telling you, folks, when you looked at him hanging on that cross, you would not have even known that that was a man unless someone told you it was a man. That's how bad he was beaten. That's how much blood he shed. Oh, it's no wonder he died within 6 hours of being hung on that cross. No wonder. He was beaten beyond human recognition. Why? For you and for me. His body, his blood. You see, we're not trusting in our church to get us to heaven. I love our church, but our church is not going to get anyone to heaven. We're not trusting in our good deeds, because truth of the matter is, all of our good deeds are nothing more than filthy rags in God's sight. We're not trusting in our works. Paul said salvation's not by works, so it's no good to trust in that which does not provide salvation. We are not trusting in philosophies. Oh, no, not at all. We are trusting in the broken Savior whose precious blood flowed and gave to as many as believe on Him eternal life. We're showing that Jesus is all and all in all. We don't look to a church or to a preacher or to a pope or to a set of rules or to any creed or dogma or any lodge or any organization created by man. No, sir, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And that's what this Lord's table is all about. We are saying to everybody, we believe in Jesus. Jesus. So why communion? Because this do ye, Paul said here, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. He saved me. He reached down in the miry clay and He redeemed me. And we live in a wicked world, folks, and I need reminded often about what He did for me. I know you do too. I don't ever want to forget the sacrifice that He made when He went to the cross for me. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Oh, Christian, would you let God speak to your heart tonight? Let's take the opportunity now that we have to remember Jesus. Paul said, let a man examine himself. Can I encourage you to examine yourself right now? Would you just examine yourself? And let God do something in your heart tonight. If you draw nigh to Him, He's going to draw nigh to you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's all stand to our feet, please. Father in heaven, thank You so much for Your wonderful Word. We rejoice in Your Word. Your Word is eternal. And Father, we have heard the Word of God this evening. So I pray that You will help us to hide Your Word in our hearts so we won't sin against You. Open our understanding to what this is all about. And it's not about being seen. It's not about salvation. It's not about promotion. It's about remembering. And Father, we need to remember You. What You did for us. So bless and speak to our hearts. Draw us to Yourself. In Jesus' name.